Hill Social Club, that white-bricked beauty, sat beneath the dark line of oak trees on the top of the driveway, precisely as I remembered it. I put the car into park and sat staring at the aging mansion, drumming my fingers against the steering wheel. My stomach was turning flips. This had been my second home, my turf, the one place I could always feel welcome. Yet as I sat in my car grinding my teeth, I wondered why I felt this intense anxiety. Halfway up the drive, I realized how long it had been since I'd last graced the old club with my presence. I couldn't imagine why I'd stayed away for so long. The Druid Hill Club was about as old as some of the square states, founded just after the Civil War by Baltimore's industry kings. Since that time, all manner of notable politicians and businessmen frequented the club for its atmosphere, seclusion, and the company of young women. It was exactly my kind of joint. "Hell with it," I grumbled as I stepped out, my shoes crunching on the gravel alongside the pavement. There was a time when I would drive directly up to the porte cochere, hand the valet my keys, and plunge into a world of discreet inebriation. By the time I reached the double oak doors, however, I didn't even see a valet on duty. It was the first indication things had changed for the worse. The second appeared in the form of a 20-something coat girl giving me the evil eyes I stepped through the foyer. "Sir, may I see your card?" I paused and turned slowly to the girl. "Excuse me? Your card! This is a members-only club, sir." Something about the way she said, "sir," made me feel 20 years older. I smirked at her and pulled my wallet. "Okay," I drawled as I handed her the dog-eared paper card I kept stuffed between the grocery store discount club card and my driver's license. She gave it a few seconds more scrutiny than I felt was necessary, but finally returned it with a chipper grin. "Welcome back, Mr. Lake." "You new here?" I asked as I pocketed my wallet.
"No, sir. Been here over a year."
Over a year. Shit. "Pleasure, Miss
Kim."
I gave Kim a nod, winking away a stabbing headache that was reaching over my right eyeball and driving an ice pick into my frontal lobe. "I'm going to go drink heavily now, if that's all right by you." She gave me a tight-lipped grin and melted back into the coat room. Suited me. I rubbed my temples and stepped into the great room, an open space vaulted by columns, decked in Persian rugs and worn furniture arranged in tight clusters for conversation. The occasional potted palm broke the space into islands of perceived privacy. I knew from experience that this privacy was an illusion, one I had capitalized on many times in the past. It looked and felt like the old club, but it was stranger, darker somehow. As I wandered to the long mahogany bar along the near wall, it occurred to me what was missing. People. I checked the date on my watch. It was the 4th, Saturday night. The place should have been packed. The only patrons I could see were a group of young lions in business suits huddled in a corner, two of Mama Chloe's girls draped across their wingbacks.
"Dorian Lake, my God in heaven,"
a warm, husky voice called from the bar. I turned to find Big Ben Setley gawking at me, a couple crystal lowballs drip drying in his hands. Ben was a short, wide man with a broad, continually sweaty forehead and a double chin. He had a ruddy tone to his face that gave him the look of a man who had been dying from the same heart attack for the past 3 years, but no one had the heart to tell him. He may not have owned the club, but he was the man who kept it running. "Evening, Ben." Ben stowed the glassware and dried his hands before shaking mine in a vice-like grip.